not change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Okay, so you are in the From Can't to Can Release from Relapse workshop presented by Ann B. And I just wanted to say a few things about Ann, sort of introduce you, introduce her to you. Some of you already know Ann, some of you may not, may have never met her. But for years, Ann has been an inspiration to me and a wonderful role model to many people in the program. She's been very involved with HOW over the years. I've attended a body image workshop that she had given some years ago and several others. So Ann just gives a lot of service. She willingly shares her experience, strength, and hope. And that matters to those of us who have struggled with abstinence over the years. And I'm speaking first person. So she's just been wonderful to listen to and to be in meetings and in the workshops that she gives. And her service has been at all levels, meetings. She started meetings. I know a goal meeting and the relapse and recovery meeting Whittier Saturday morning that she started. She's served, I know, as intergroup, right? Intergroup for years, and I believe you've been on the board, okay, if my memory serves me correct. So this subject is really near and dear to my heart because I've relapsed, I struggled, and that's why I'm here. And and maybe that's why a lot of you are here. Maybe you're in relapse or you want to prevent a relapse. So let's find out about all those ways that we can prevent relapse. So I present to you Ann B. from Brea, California.
Good morning, everybody. It's 8:15, and we are, like, so excited to be here. And had to get to bed a little bit early last night to be able to be awake this morning. But can we give you guys a hand of applause for being here and in your seats, and it's 8:15. Yay! Yay! So I thank you for moving forward. If you are sitting in the back, and once we get started, if you see an open chair, you may want to move forward because they're going to be dancing next door with music. And if you can move your chair forward, you're welcome to. And on the other side, I believe there's a panel. So I want you to have the opportunity to hear me. Okay, can everyone hear me? We've got me okay? I made 50 handouts that are totally complete. I'm not always ahead of time. You know, sometimes God is speaking to me with the workshop, and he's speaking to me, and usually I don't print it out till just before, but I've been wanting to deal with my character defect of what I call procrastination. Sure, there'll be time. Ask my mother. I was supposed to pick her up at 12:30 to come, and I picked her up at 2. Everybody wave to my mom. There's Judy. That's my mom. This is the woman who I hope that I look like, and I hope that I love people like. I love my mom. And we're in program together. Those of you who want to know where Shelly is, my sister, she is in Hawaii. So she says hello, and she misses everybody. But so back to the handouts. So I did them early. My husband copied them. There were only 3 pages. Well, I had too much time to think about it. And then I thought about all the things that were not in there, and I added to it. So my nephew, Eduardo, is going out to get copies of the pages that are not there. So if you have a 3-page handout, we will have more pages for you in about 20 minutes. Don't worry about it. You don't need it. I asked myself, what did I want to gift you with? And there's more in that handout, and we'll talk about it later, okay? So we're going to do a little bit of talking with each other because I believe in processing. So I want everybody to meet somebody that's next to them. I believe in what's called dyads, 2 people. So I want you to introduce yourself to your partner. If your partner is 2 chairs away, I suggest that maybe you move a little bit closer. If you don't have a partner, look for a partner. Sometimes we don't know what we know until we share it with somebody. So everybody introduce yourself to your partner. Okay. Now that you've introduced yourself, I'm going to give you 1 minute. Would you tell your partner, because I would love to know, and I can't because there's too many of us, I would like you to tell your partner why you're here. Okay, just very briefly, why are you here? And I want the partner to listen and just affirm it. I got it. You're here because you don't want to relapse. I got it. You're so tired of relapse. You're here to find out how to stop. So you're going to listen to what they say. Yes, someone's going to speak their truth. You're going to listen and speak back to them something very short that says, I hear you. This is why you're here. All right, you got a minute. Go for it. All right, very good, ladies. Yay! Those of you who just came in that are in the back, we're meeting our partner because I believe in dyads. I believe in sharing what it is that I'm learning. If your partner is sitting across the room, I see two people sitting by themselves, like in that very last row, make eye contact and figure out how you're going to get over there to talk to them when it's time to share. And we are off and running. So I'm Ann B. I'm a grateful, recovering, compulsive eater. I've been in program for over 20 years. I came in when we were OA How. I lost my weight. I was poster child. Everything I did it fast because I wanted to get to the end, get done with it, you know? And then you know what happened? My life changed just like we think it's going to change when we get thin. I was pretty much still the same, but I had a great sports car that I was driving, you know, talking about my body. And my life opened up, and program became inconvenient, all those meetings and those phone calls. And there is a lie in maintenance that the disease says, maybe you really aren't a compulsive eater. Maybe you can try a dab of this or a touch of that. And you start dabbing and daubing and personalizing a program that is really one size fits all, no adjustments required, and you work yourself out of the program. So I had an amazing relapse that allowed me to go up past 340 pounds, and by the grace of God, I've had 200 pounds off of me for about 12 years, and it's to God's glory, and I recommitted my abstinence 1/1/2010. I, you know, it never starts the day that you pick up. It started way before that, and that's part of what we'll talk about. But I ate my way to the bottom of a box of disgusting legal grain. You know, like you just know that you ate grass and whatever. You know, one of those really, really healthy ones, but how many people here have ever done that portion size, whatever the container comes in, that's a portion? Yes, quantity eaters. And I had to own it up to my sponsor. And she told me that, and it's something that Ray says all the time, that I matter, that my recovery is so important. And she asked me to please find other sponsors for my sponsees and to not take anybody back till I had 30 days and 30 questions. Now, I didn't like that. You know, I just slipped on one meal. You know, but she was my sponsor. And I hadn't told anybody I was on vacation. My family would flip, you know, if I was to pick up something that had sugar or flour in it. I think they would tear it out of my hands, knock me down. And I was mad because I got right back on. And I went in the house because I had a day. You're going to take this day away from me? And my biggest nemesis, which you toast and slather with, I don't know, we're in a workshop. We can say food. You toast it, you slather it with butter. It called to me. And it said to me, today doesn't count. Nobody's home. Come toast me and slather me and we'll show them that they took this day away from you. What do you hear? Self-pity? Yes, poor me. It's not fair. But I had a spiritual... There's more chairs up in here. There's a chair right here. And they can get us more chairs. I had enough of a spiritual program to be able to say back to the bread, today may not count, but I count. I count. And I am waiting to eat what I committed for my next meal. There was that thought that went through my head, oh, you'll get right back on tomorrow morning. Let's just, they took today away from you. Let's just blow it. But I didn't. You always matter more than the food. So I'm sorry for those of you that have the abbreviated handouts. My pictures are coming around. You'll get those. But for those of you that have the one that has like 10 pages on the very last page, it's kind of funny to start with the last page first. The very last paragraph is out of the fourth edition, and I'm going to read that for you. Those of you that don't have it, don't worry about it because they're making us copies. I already explained. They told me just to bring 50, and I bought 50 of the enhanced copies where I threw everything in but the kitchen sink. It's abstinent, but it has everything in it. Okay, so this is what the paper reads. One of the primary differences between alcoholics and non-alcoholics is that non-alcoholics change their behavior to meet their goals. Alcoholics change their goals to meet their behavior. The one definition of a bottom is the point when the last thing you lost or the next thing you are about to lose is more important to you than the booze. The point is different for everyone, but some of us die before we get there. She spoke about feelings of insecurity being replaced by confidence, fear being replaced by faith, resentment being replaced by love, and despair being replaced by joy. And I stand here today and I am sincerely hoping that at the end of this convention, when you think I'm going to start tomorrow, you're going to say, wait, stop, I refuse, I count, today counts, my next meal counts. If it's not committed, I'm going to pick up the phone and I'm going to commit it. If it's not measured, I'm going to get my scale and my cups out so I can measure it. There's no magic in tomorrow. There's magic in this moment, and there's magic in today. First things first. We're compulsive eaters. We're quantity eaters, most of us. If you're not a quantity eater and you're here because of sugar or flour or something, God bless you. But I am an original more girl. More is better. Biggest apple, 16 ounces, biggest plate. Because inside me somewhere, it says more is better. And sometimes less is enough. You know, sometimes it's not that way. Our business is life, not death. We want to live. To live, we follow this simple program. Not the abbreviated one that our greatest thinking that got us, that got me to over 345 pounds, that thinking can abbreviate our program really well and make it very comfortable, but my clothes aren't comfortable when I work an abbreviated program. So, God has the answer, and God says, pursue life. Remember, you're pursuing life. The disease will allow you to slip into a living death. where you feel numb and nothing is real. And it wasn't that great. Anybody enjoy oblivion? Really? Really? If you enjoyed oblivion, you would not be sitting in this room. So with that said, I'm going to bring you to why we have this title. From Can to Can, Release from Relapse. Take my time. I had a gift this year. My fellowship of my faith decided to have a friend's mother's daughter's banquet. And they had a dress designer who was going to design new dresses for everybody. But they wanted to talk about transformations that started from the inside out. And they came to me and they said, "We are aware that you have a huge weight loss and that you have something that our women would like to know about. Would you be willing to be our transformation person? That means that we're going to do whatever we want to do with your hair. We're going to give you some skin treatments, talk about suffering. You know, we're going to give you a dress. We want you to do a little video and talk about your recovery." And I thought, oh my gosh, because where I go for my fellowship, for my faith, they hand out sugar all the time. They have sugar fests. And I'm just like, oh, bondage, bondage, oh, you know? Because the people that don't really care about it are not at the sugar. And those of us who know, we're hoping that they didn't notice that we made 5 trips to get a little bit of everything and then some more of the stuff that was really good. And maybe some of the stuff that wasn't so good in case we got a not so good piece. You know? You know? I did it. And I used to have long blonde hair. And I said to my husband, "They're going to make me red." He says, "Why are they going to make you red?" I says, "Because that's the only color I've never been." And I said, and it just inside my spirit, because you're talking about changing something. And I said, "I think it's going to be about shoulder height." Just inside my spirit. And it came out red, shoulder height. It was much redder than this. And then he asked me this time, "Could you ask them to take some of the red out? So I'm a little more brown." But I got to share my story. So I'm going to read for you what I read for the ladies. This was our gift to them. And this is why we have a Can't into Can. And I'm 55. I'm 56. My eyes are going. I'm looking at my mom. Okay. This is what I read. I read, "Love and mercy are us. I would like to thank all of the amazing women and men who have walked with me through my life as well as through this makeover experience. You have all helped me transform my can'ts into Can by God's grace. When approached to have this makeover, I thought, wow, being blessed with a makeover was an opportunity to share how God had so blessed my life. Our God wants us to celebrate times of joy together like today, as well as to give encouragement to one another in difficult times. His love and your love has been healing and freeing for me. I liken the freedom that I experience in my faith of God to the breaking of chains and the shattering of shackles. We all have areas in our lives where we live small and safe. We are like the elephants in Thailand who are shackled and tied to a rope when they are young. They learn when they are young that they can only walk in the circle that the rope allows. When they are mature elephants, they falsely believe that the rope is strong enough to hold them. In their mind, the presence of the shackle on their leg says they can't be free. They can't break free. We all have falsehoods that we believe about ourselves. Things that were spoken to us, overheard as a child, or difficult moments of abandonment or failure later on in life. We were hurt, and for many of us, we still feel that pain today. These experiences and false beliefs are like shackles on our minds and on our hearts. We can believe that we were passed by in the gift department, that we're not smart enough, we have no talents, that we're not strong, we're not as attractive as other people. And so we give up our dreams, or we don't even try to even dream, because failure seems to loom over any effort that we would even try to make. I had the gift in my work, in my makeover, I didn't know it was part of it, of working out. Oh my gosh. With a trainer. They gave it to me. In the very first workout at the gym with my new friend Renee, I experienced one of these shackles. For most of my life, if the urge to exercise arose, I would sit down until it passed. Tomorrow would be another day, yes? As I struggled with the stair climber, if you don't know what a stair climber is, it's like walking up an escalator, and it is just going down. I struggled with the stair climber to stay ahead of those little steps that seemed determined to carry me down to the ground. And I said to my beautiful Renee, I can't do it. And she looked at me in the eyes and she said, Anne, your brain is lying to you. You have strong legs. You can do this. As Renee spoke to me, a shackle shattered. I can. And I tell you that God has shown me in this program and in the process of my makeover that He will take the T in my can't if I ask Him. And He puts it into the T of transformations. And He transforms them into I can. I can. He says the T is a familiar burden to Him, and He can transform it. I tell you, my friends, if you have areas in your life where you are experiencing fear of failure or the comfort of complacency, God has an answer for you. He's in the business of transformation. His love and His mercy are shackle shattering. And that is the message that you allowed me to carry, because I didn't know how to be free. I didn't, and the truth was, I really wanted to be free, but I didn't want how. Come on. God, you're all powerful. You made the seas, the oceans, the sky, day and night. Just zap me skinny. You can do it. Fix these genes that want to collect fat. But He wanted me to learn something. And if you were blessed enough to hear the speaker, the keynote speaker for Friday night, if you haven't listened to it, listen to it. It is our disease that brings us to our knees, which is what that piece that we read from the big book says. That's what the woman was talking about. Where is your bottom? What is it going to take to hit bottom? Are you willing to give the tea in your can to God and have a can? And I'm hoping when we're at the end of this workshop, we're going to be throwing teas right and left. We have all sorts of teas in our life. So if you go to the first page of your pamphlet. Everybody has this page. I believe in literature searches, and that's what I teach my sponsees. And so I read this literature. I'm going to read it for the people that are listening to us. Okay? It says, rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves to this simple program. They are naturally incapable of grasping and developing a manner of living which demands rigorous honesty. AA Big Book, page 58. I have to tell you, I had a big resentment against that. Anybody else not like that? You know, I'm serious. I hate it. What do you mean? Who wants rigorous honesty? And what does this mean to fail because you can't grasp the program? And so really what I did is I took a look at some of those words. What did it mean to thoroughly follow? To thoroughly follow means carefully, meticulously, in detail, painstakingly. The antonym to thoroughly is carelessly. And when we work the program carelessly, it's an entirely different program than the thoroughly program, is it not? Yes. And to give oneself completely, completely means absolutely, totally, from top to bottom. And the antonym to completely is partially. You know, how many of us, just so you don't feel alone, how many people have tried to compartmentalize this program? I don't have to work it at home. I don't have to work it at work. I don't have to let it touch my money. Don't even talk to me about my dating life. Please stay out of my marriage or my, you know, significant other's relationship. Don't ask me to work the tools and the traditions there. No way. No way. Because they're not. But I found out that I have to. The word demands, this program demands, that means insists, requires, or stipulates. The antonym for demands is request. It's really not a request. This is a very demanding program. It demands rigorous honesty. You know, the number on the scale is the number on the scale. The number of phone calls that I made is the number of phone calls. And I don't know that 3 phone calls is magical, and I don't know that 1 cup or 8 ounces is magical. But do you know what I know? That lying about doing it to somebody takes the life out of my life. When I am deceitful, those are the seeds that start me into relapse. I don't really believe that if I only did 2 phone calls that I'm not going to stay abstinent and only say 1. But if I lie to my sponsor, oh yeah, I made 3 phone calls. Yes, I did. I know that I lied. And it becomes a tiny seed that snowballs and snowballs, and it might not take me out today, but it might next week, 6 months. It depends how fast it's going. So honesty is sincerely, truthfully, with integrity, frankness, and openness. I skipped over rigorous. Rigorous, that rigorous honesty is thorough, precise, meticulous, painstaking, and careful. I'm going to read the next. Are you getting why I do this so that I can kind of understand what I'm reading? Sometimes when I get other words for those big words and I delve into it, a word will pop out to me. These words that I did in the dictionary thesaurus study, those are the words that spoke to my spirit. It might be different words for you, but I either get the dictionary out or I go online and I click the little dictionary thing and I just type the words in, and it gives you all of these things. The next paragraph is selfishness and self-centeredness. That's what we think is the root of our troubles, driven by 100 forms of fear, self-delusion, self-seeking, self-pity. We step on the toes of our fellows and they retaliate.
So our troubles are basically our own making. They arise out of ourselves. The alcoholic or compulsive eater is an extreme example of self-will run riot, although they usually don't think so. Above all else, we compulsive eaters must be rid of this selfishness. We must, or it kills us. God makes that possible. There's often seems no way entirely of ridding of self without his aid. We have to have his help. And that's on page, it's going to be on page 62. There's another part that comes after that. That self-will is determination, obstinacy, stubbornness, willfulness, intransient, I don't know how to say that word, intransience, and inflexibility. To run riot, it was in the dictionary on the internet, run amok, go on a rampage, riot, go berserk, go wild. That rampage, does that fit anybody's binge experience, whether it's an emotional binge or a food binge or a shopping binge or trying to control my family binge, any of those things? You're all idiots at work binge. Okay. This is the how and the why of it. First of all, we had to quit playing God. It didn't work. Next, hereafter, in the drama of life, God was going to be our director. He is the principal, we are his agents. He is the father, we are his children. Good ideas are simple. This concept was the keystone of a new and triumphant arch through which we pass to freedom. Again, on page 62. So what is that keystone? That keystone is the supporting element, something on which other interrelated things depend. So God is the keystone. We can see it, we can watch it, we can perceive it. We can see the miracles in somebody else's life, but if we try to produce them, I've seen my best efforts, and white knuckling this program it's a bitch. It is. I'm probably the B word, white knuckling, because I'm odd and I'm doing it on my effort. It has to be by the grace of God. And that's the truth. He is our keystone. And the last piece from there's two pieces from the big book. Half measures availed us nothing. And we're not half girls and boys, are we, anywhere, or men? When did we ever take a half of any piece of food and say that was enough if we could have a whole? You know, we didn't. If we did take a half, we planned to have the other half later when everybody left. And if there wasn't any left, we were going out and getting three or four for ourselves afterwards because we were polite and let them eat our other half. We are really not half-measure people. So how can we work a program with half-measures? But we try. It's part of the insidiousness of our disease. Half-measures avail us nothing. And you know what? It doesn't avail us nothing. Half-measures gives us the disease. The disease is not nothing, people. I really feel very strongly, if you can tell, about this sentence. Half-measures avail us death. Half-measures avail us our disease starting up again. Deterioration of our lives and our relationships. That's what half-measures avail us. We stood at the turning point. We asked his protection and care with complete abandon. So the dictionary says half measures are something inadequate, an inadequate or ineffectual action. You know, it's like when you ask your child to sweep the floor and they do like a 2x2 square piece of it and put the broom away. That's a half effort. Or, you know, anyhow, anybody, I live in a house of men who have a partial blindness. They can't see the dishwasher. they know how to pick up their plate and bring it to the sink, but they can't find the dishwasher. It's like invisible to their eyes. I've showed them. I demonstrate how it opens and closes. That there's little slots. You can even put it in upside down, backwards. I don't care. But why am I the only one that can see the dishwasher and put the plate or the bowl in there? I don't understand. It could be genetic. I'm sorry for the men that are here. You probably can see the dishwasher, yes? Yes, you're in program. You've been healed. It's a good thing. Woo! Woo! Here for the men. So that's a half measure. Turning point is an important moment of change, a time, an incident that marks the beginning of a completely new and usually better stage in someone's life or the development of something. We look for those turning points. Protection, because we're placing ourselves in His protection and care. It's defense, guard, shield, safety, security, shelter, safeguard, and armor. I suggest to you that that's what you make your concept of God to be. I'm going to the last piece of the big book, page 63. We thought well before taking this step, making sure that we were ready, that we could at last abandon ourselves utterly to Him. The wording was, of course, quite optional as long as we expressed the idea, voicing it without reservation. This is only a beginning, though if honestly and humbly made, an effect, sometimes a very great one, was felt at once. To abandon. Boy, that word is big. To abandon yourself to God. The dictionary says to abandon is to leave a place because of danger. As to leave a vehicle or a place, especially for reasons of safety without intending to return. Abandon is to renounce something, to reject something previously done or used. To abandon is to give up control of something, to surrender control of something completely to somebody else. To abandon is to halt something in progress, to stop doing something before it is completed, usually because of difficulty or danger. Listening to my disease and living my disease is living a life unto death. When you abandon yourself to God, you say, it's the honest truth, I both hate and love my food. You know, the big book tells us that we start using food to cope with life, yes? And it kind of makes it easier. Some of us started very early. And then at some point, we no longer have a choice. We have to use the food. The choice to not use the food is not there. We have to have it. We think we're going to die. And then the food is turning our lives upside down, and we can no longer live because of the effects of the food, emotionally how we are. Our relationships are suffering. Our work is suffering, and we want to stop, and we cannot. That is when we throw ourselves at God's mercy. Those that there are people that come into program before they're to that point. They've watched something amazing, a transformation in somebody else's life, and they come to the program for the spiritual transformation, willing to give up the food. God bless them. But I was somebody who had to wreak huge damage on my life before I could stop eating and give it to God. So the next page, those of you that have the short ones, it's going to be your third page. But there's something called the ABCs of half measures. This is where you're going to... If you don't have all of the handouts, this is Eduardo, my nephew. He might be able to help you and give you some parts of it. But you don't need it. Everybody should have this one, the ABCs of Half Measures. Looks like this. It's page 3. If you're in a short handout, it's page 3. All right. I want you to look at the ABCs with your half measures with your partner. Find your ABCs. Find your partner. Find your partner with your ABCs. And if you don't have ABCs, I'll make more of these later. Find somebody with ABCs or share with somebody else. It's the third page or the second page. With your partner, go through the ABCs. And what I'm asking you to look at and consider is how many of these are apparent in your life. Oh, yeah, you can give me that. Yeah. All right, on your mark, get set, go, discuss with your partner. You're going to say the ABCs. Are you practicing any of the ABCs in your life? We've got like 5 minutes. Let's talk about it with our partner. And I'm just going to read it on the mic for the people that are listening. Anybody not? So I'm going to read the ABCs of half measures. A, avoiding having fun. All purposeful and meaningful tasks only. No relaxing or enjoying life. B, becoming easily angered or irritated by friends and family and ignoring the change in our outlook. C, criticize how others work their program. D, decide that not eating compulsively is really the only tool that we need. Evading the truth. We lie consciously and deny our fear. Fantasize about eating something, developing an I don't care attitude, give in to negative thoughts. When we rationalize that eating can't make my life any worse than it is now. H, having pity parties, blaming people, places, and things and conditions for our problems. I, isolate, stop going to meetings, never start or stop making outreach calls. J, judge the portion size of the food that we are placing on our plate with our eyes. K, kid ourselves about the fact that our clothes are getting tight. L, let a relationship become more important than our program. M, make an unrealistic or haphazard plan, convince myself that I'll never break my abstinence, and not calling my sponsor daily. O, overconfidence about our recovery and begin doubting our disease. P, put off reading and writing till we are too tired to do it. R, reject help, insist that nothing is wrong, let abstinence not be as important as it was. S, stop praying daily, stop or never start meditating daily. T, being too tired, too busy, or too important to do service at our meeting. U, underwork or overwork, overtalk or withdraw, oversleep or undersleep. V, vacuum, dust, and do the dishes while listening to the phone bridge meeting. W, weigh ourselves on the scale several times a day or week. X, extra food after a meal is finished, rationalizing we didn't get a full portion during the meal. Z, zoom in late for our meetings, then zoom out early before the meeting is over. Okay, my people, thank your partner. And you're going to have to finish your ABCs later. Is it working for you? They're great. If you were offended by the ABC, take it up with God and your sponsor. You know, so the ABCs are half measures. Those are the little areas in our lives where things start to fall apart. And it's very, the word that I would use is insidious. In one of my writings, this is what I wrote. This turning 56 and needing glasses is the pits. I have a grandbaby. She is the best thing. She's she's almost 5 months old. You can come and ask me. I'll show you a picture of her. But I love being 56 and being a grandma. Life has never been better. Thank you, God. Pardon? They're coming. Are we speaking about my termites? Half measures, these things, those are my termites. My little pets that eat away at the foundation of my life, my relationships, creating instability, an illusion of strength on the inside with telltale signs of sawdust on the floor. That is me. In and of myself, I can struggle with my defects but make little progress. When I am willing to allow God into my life, His Spirit within me is transformational. I want to be a better person. I want to be a brighter light. I become willing to allow His light to show into the dark corners of my life and give me hope and a new way of life for today. Now, it's very rare that a person goes out and buys a few termites to destroy their house. I've never seen them for sale. You know? It's like for me as a compulsive eater, when I started practicing my disease, willingly and craft was when I started to babysit. And I knew that these people had things that I didn't have in my house. They had rotten kids, but they had great food. I was yours. You could even have bad pay, bad kids, great food. Ha! Call me! I'm available. But I knew enough that if I ate too much of the food, they wouldn't ask me back. There is no compulsive eater. How to eat compulsively and not get arrested. You know, the Idiot's Guide to Compulsive Eating? I could write it, but I'm not going to. I'm not encouraging practicing of our disease. Besides, those of us that are compulsive eaters come by it naturally. So there I am, 14 years old, eating a little bit of everything, carefully folding it back up the same way, putting it back on the shelf and the same, washing all the evidence. And what do you do with the wrappers? Had I ever touched trash before in my life? No, my brothers took out the trash. I was touching trash. Because those wrappers were going where? Into the bottom of the trash bin. You know, I knew how I developed my own termites. I developed my own dishonesty. I developed my own shortcuts and half measures. And so in recovery, we have to be honest with ourselves. And I don't know if any of you ever had a mom who said this to you when a friend did something stupid and you did it stupid with them. And your mom said, if they were jumping off the cliff, would you jump off the cliff too? And at some ages you would say, well, yeah, sure I would. So why is it as compulsive eaters, when we see somebody bending and twisting the program, we think that we can bend and twist the program. Oh, I'm going to lunch with them. You know, look at that. You know, that makes me comfortable in my dishonesty. Doesn't two compulsive eaters and dishonesty make a right? You know? No, it doesn't. So seeing somebody else practice something that you know won't work in your program doesn't make it right. And it doesn't make it right for you to tell them, because the other thing that I've learned in life is advice that's given and asked for is unwanted. It's intrusive and people get upset with you. Does anybody have an empty chair next to them that someone could sit in? We have a chair there and chair there. So, you know what, in life, some of us, in my high school was, my junior high, was three stories, and junior high kids are pretty learning how to be dishonest and get away with things. And so they put in something called hall monitors. You had to have a pass, right? And some of us were made to be hall monitors. We want to make sure. We were the ones when the teacher left the room, she said, "Ann, watch those kids. You tell me if anybody gets out of their seat or talks." Yes! You know, there is no hall room monitors in CEA Howe. When you become a hall room monitor, you all of a sudden start losing friends. You're critical and judgmental, and you're in somebody else's program. So if you're asking for my opinion, a lot of times they'll say, "Well, what did your sponsor say?" Because if they're asking me, I want to know before you get my opinion, are you trying to make your sponsor wrong? Or do you not want to talk to your sponsor about it? You're not my sponsee. I tell my sponsees you discuss your food with your sponsor. And if I don't know, I will go to my sponsor. So I just say that, so take a deep breath. Somebody's doing it wrong. You know what you do? God bless them. God bless them. God bless them. If it's working for them, maybe they have a medical abstinence. Maybe they're working in a doctor-changed program. I don't know. They're not my sponsee. I don't have to deal with it. God bless them. And you let it go. So we're going to go on to the page, and this is where my being ahead caused me a little bit of trouble. It's an inventory for step one, and it takes step one because that's what we're talking about here, is step one. My life is, it should say step one, either inventory for freedom, but it should start with the line from the big book. My life is unmanageable, and I added overwhelming, out of balance, and it's creating stress for me and others in the arenas of my life. The word arena means, in the dictionary, a field of activity, a conflict, or an endeavor. We are endeavor people. If anybody was an endeavor person, it was us. I was on the pursuit for a perfect thing from a shop on my way to work. And I ate all the imperfect ones and went on to the next shop before I got to work to find the perfect one. And sometimes it took me three stores of these fresh delicacies to find out that none of them were perfect and to have to dispose of all of those miserable things anyways. Those are endeavors. How can you stop at three stores, buy a coffee and a drink three times and still get to work on time? I was a person of endeavor. We are endeavor. Endeavor is to exhort one's minds or powers to do or affect something, to make an effort, to strive, to reach, or to achieve something. That is us. Now, my deal, which was in kind of described, I think, in that third paragraph that we wrote, is that I knew that God was the director, but I thought that the people he gave me in my family, that I was supposed to be their director. I thought that was my job. That's why it's my child. That's why I'm married to you. God wants me to run your life correctly. And he's given me the wisdom to tell you how to run it. And instead of investing my energy in me, I invested my energy in straightening them out. And I only picked mates that needed a lot of straightening. You know? Because if you were self-sufficient and able to run your own course, why would you need me? You might leave. So I looked. I've been looking my whole life and collecting broken people. Today I offer them recovery. I don't make it my business to fix other people. But in food recovery, what happens is sometimes areas of our life go out of whack. And we get upset. God's not answering our prayer.
it's not happening fast enough. I love this person. They have lived their whole life for you. How can they have this disease, this financial failure, this loss? I am upset about job losses, all different things. So you will find on this inventory, this step one inventory, a whole list of areas, arenas of life where we can struggle. So again, we're going to work with our partner. We're going to review these arenas of life and talk about, we're looking for current. If you had a past struggle, you can understand it and mentally note it to you. But what happens in today's world, there's something that's called cutting. Anybody heard about cutting? This is what young girls do today. They're in stress, the stress to be perfect, to be pretty, to look like models. They believe all those airbrushed things are real people. They don't look to see this is this movie star in real life and this is her with four makeup artists and a dresser. You know, we can't be them. And so what they start doing is they cut areas of their body with like a razor blade, a piece of knife, a safety pin, and they bleed. And as they bleed a little, it gives them a feeling of release of stress. Those of us that have been anorexic, sometimes that feeling of having control from not eating, from starving ourselves, is a release from stress. Those of us that are compulsive eaters or purgers, we're releasing stress. You know, they say the compulsive eater gets a flat tire and they make a phone call, they order the pizza first, and then they call the AAA. You know, it's two wheels, one for me and one for the car, please. So what I want you to do is just look at this list. It's not a complete list, but take a look at it. I'm going to speak it into the mic and see if you can identify some areas that you are endeavoring to play God or to change that you're struggling with in your life. On your mark, get set, go. If you don't have a partner, raise your hand so I can put you with somebody. Thank you. Right behind you. The one-step inventory for freedom. It reads, educational performance goals. My performance is not as perfect, or the grade is not as high as I or a significant other would like it to be. I'm unable to concentrate. I'm fearful that the job market won't be there when the education is completed. I have lack of time or energy required to learn or practice the skills. Family, not supportive of my program. My spouse or significant other desires an instant weight loss cure. There's pressure to people please. Family dynamics are causing emotional upheavals in self and other family members. Addiction or addictive behaviors of other family members are causing discord. Finances. I am hoarding or overspending, under-earning. My monthly bills and credit cards add up to more than my income. I have no savings plan. No retirement savings. It's either not in place, it's been spent, or it's inadequate. Fitness. I'm avoiding exercise or movement-related activities. Or I'm spending time at physical activities and not fulfilling other commitments or responsibilities. Friends. Not supportive of program. Pressure to people, please. The dynamics of the friendship cause emotional upheavals. Addictions or addictive behaviors of friends are affecting me. Health.
health-related issues affect my quality of life or the quality of life of someone who I am close to. I am overly concerned, possibly with health issues, or perhaps they are. Intimacy and sex. There's too little or too much for one of us or both of us. Leisure and fun. There's no time scheduled for fun or interests. Being involved in fun pursuits is happening to the detriment of fulfilling responsibilities, and it places unfair share of responsibilities on others. Rest. There's a lack of sleep or interrupted sleep, creating fatigue or foggy thinking, or sleeping too much. CEA has 7 tools. Are the tools the core that your day flows around, or are they tailored and tucked into your day to fit your life? Have you created your own personal abbreviated recovery tools? Are they working for you as well as the real deal CEA How tools? Service commitments in 12-step programs, faith-based or community organizations. Spiritual practices, responsibilities, and commitments. Transportation. The reliability, the availability, the cost, the distance, and the time spent commuting. Time management. Focus on one or more life arenas is happening with no definition of the length of time for the sacrifice required in other areas of life. Work. Career. Expectation of others for work, quality, or time. Commitments are huge. Difficulty in relationships with the boss or others at work. Frustration in pursuing career goals. Sense of frustration or failure related to work. Success at work requires sacrifice in other life arenas. All right. Let's thank our partner. Thank our partner. Everybody found at least one life area that's affecting them. If you did not find at least one life arena, just fake it and pretend something's not perfect in your life. It's okay. It'll work for you. Okay? So this is like when you know that something is not right in your life, it could fall into one of these areas. And so what do we do with it? So those of you with the 3-page handout are waiting for, or you have received a page, and if you haven't, I will get it for you. You can raise your hands and I'll count it, and Edwin will make us more copies. It starts with step 1, meditation for freedom. And then it has a second portion that says step 1, writing for freedom. Either way, you're listening for me. You don't need to have it. It's for the future. So you've just done the step 1 inventory. My life is unmanageable, overwhelming, and out of balance, and it's creating stress for me and others in my life. This is the meditation for freedom. So close your eyes. Everyone, close your eyes, relax, and I'm going to read this to you. What am I willing to admit that I am powerless over? Am I willing to surrender it to my higher power? If I am, I do so now. If you are not ready to surrender, are you willing to explore why? We can stall in our recovery because of our endeavors to control people, places, or things. when I take a few minutes to consider this arena of life that's out of order, and I ask myself, how effective have my endeavors been in this arena? What has trying to control it cost me? What am I fearful of if I let go and let God? Have I developed a resentment because of a wrong done to me or to someone else that I care about? Does the anger or the pain attached to this situation seem impossible to let go of? Is it possible that I would like to be free of the discomfort of the situation more than I want to hold on to my right to be right? Would I be willing to invest in writing and place a hold on my right to be right? Writing about a situation can bring about a shift in your perspective. Are you ready for a shift? Okay, open your eyes. The next part of this, there's something that's called a writing tense step. So all I did was I took the writing tense step and I adapted it to this. We're not going to do it. If you haven't done your writing today and you really have something that you would like to abandon to God, we talked about abandon, stop doing, let it go, and give it to God, then this is what you're going to write about. And I'm speaking it just for the phone, for the posting of the workshop. What areas of life are unmanageable and overwhelming and out of balance and is creating stress? That would be the first question you would write about. 2, why is it upsetting me? 3, what is actually happening in detail? Who or what is involved? 4, where and when is this occurring? 5, what are my reactions? Resentment, anger, hate, remorse, fear, guilt, dishonesty, or other things? Is my pride hurt in any way? And am I feeling envy or jealous? 8, is sex involved in any way? 9, are character defects involved, like greed, gluttony, sloth, or procrastination? 10, am I feeling insecure, unwanted, unloved, rejected, inadequate, confused, or frustrated? 11, am I condemning myself or others? Have I judged? 12, have I left out any details? Do I have an amends to make to someone? Whom? That's 13. And 14 is, what could I have done differently? When you have written these, you can read and discuss what you've written with a trusted person. At this point, hopefully you are ready now to give it to God. As you come to character defects, if you are ready to have God remove them, humbly ask Him to do so. If you've identified a resentment, praying for the other persons involved and asking for guidance is the next step to freedom. When we work through this, we can let it go. Relapse is not about the food. It's about the pain. It's about the dis-ease with life. Life is uncomfortable, and we eat at it. There's a page that says from can't to can. I'm going to read that, and then we're going to do our 911 relapse plan.
from can't to can, release from relapse. We can't live free when we carelessly follow the CEA How program. We can't live free when we partially give ourselves to this simple program. We can't live free when we unfortunately grasp and develop a dishonest manner of living. We can't live free when we endeavor to create a shortened, barely there, scanty program because it avails us deterioration of our health, our sanity, and quality of life. It reactivates our disease and our disease progresses. We can be free to live when we stand at the important moment of change, marking the beginning of a completely new stage of recovery. We can ask our higher power to be our defense, fortification, our guard, our shield, our safety, our security, our shelter, and our armor. We can surrender our lives to a higher power. We can give up our endeavors to control this simple program. By God's grace, to God's glory, we live free, carrying the message that we can because He can. So can you. Give God the tea in your camps and live free. He is in the business of tea transformations. Do you believe that you can be set free? Become what you believe. And there's an I believe statement at the bottom, and I ask you sometime today to ask God to tell you who it is that He's creating you to be. And then when you believe, that's what you become. I have to tell you, who it is that I am today when I started on this 20 years ago is so far beyond anything that I ever could have imagined. And I am here by God's grace and mercy. And I believe that God has amazing things to do, not just in my life, but in your life. I'm not an enigma. I'm not a, oh, He works that way with her and not with me. It's not true. He's an amazing God. And He has so much for you. So, Lola, are we done? Do we have 1 minute? Maybe a couple minutes? Everybody, that's a very personal thing to write your I believe statement. Everybody that was here about 10 minutes ago, you have your 911 relapse plan. This is part of the relapse prevention meeting. There's one on the phone bridge. We started one for locals in Whittier. It's on the website. When you go to ceahow.org, there's a search engine there. Type in formats, F-O-R-M-A-T-S, and it pops up. One of the weeks, people write their 911 relapse plan. And what I'm doing is I'm going to read you, because I started this meeting, and you don't need this little piece of paper. If you write after I read all of mine, your 10 things, you can write them on here, and I have do-it-yourself laminating sheets up here. You can laminate it and put it into your pocket, your wallet, or your purse. But I'm going to read you for about 3 months. I kept a list of what people put on their 911 plan. You can start right now on your own, or you can listen and see what you think. This is what people did. When I feel I can't, say to myself, with God I can, offer up God the tea of my can't. I can call my sponsor, do an outreach call. I can share how I feel. I can pray by myself or ask someone else to pray for me or with me. I can recognize that the urge to eat is not real hunger in my soul or my body. It's a cry from deep within. I'm afraid. I'm tired. I'm upset. I'm resentful. I'm angry. I'm judgmental. I can write about it. I can release it. I can ask God
to show me what to do about it. I can take my problem, I can put it in a God box. I can drink a large glass of water. I can put my phone on a 10-minute timer and say I can wait for 10 minutes and go do something else. I can review my 911 plan. I can go outside. I can go for a walk. I can walk my dogs. I can think through how I will feel after I've eaten. I can take a look at my pictures that I use when I lead a meeting. I can say to myself, I am worthy. I can exercise. I can have a hot drink of coffee or herb tea. I can go visit a friend, listen to a phone meeting, go to a meeting. I can write in my journal. I can write a 10th step. I can start a project. I can do some mending. I can be honest with somebody that I'm uncomfortable in my own skin today and feel supported. I can pray, thy will be done, not mine. I can work on a photo album for my family. I can read my gratitude list that I've been writing at nighttime to God. I can ask God to take away the obsession. I can get away from the house. I can take a nap. I can pray for guidance. I can write an email for outreach. I can read the fun emails that I've been saving. I can pray, I can go to church or synagogue, I can visit a friend, I can read CEA How literature, I can read my journal, I can not keep the binge food in my house, I can abstain from negative thinking, I can clean out a closet, I can read literature or the big book, I can say the serenity prayers, I can listen to music, I can dance. I can take a bubble bath. I can sit and pet my dogs. I can look up my problem in the As Bill Sees It index and read what someone's written about my problem. I can go and find somebody else to help. I can read about acceptance in the big book. Have a 911 plan, because it's just stress. Stress is going to happen, but we don't have to eat over it. And you'll find that the rest of your packet are all of the things that I know that have helped me develop my spiritual program. We need a spiritual program. So you'll have a page that's affirmations of recovery. These affirmations are amazing. They replace negative thinking. If you have an area that's biting your butt, look for an affirmation and make that your goal to say it. Put it on your car, put it on your dashboard, tape it on your mirror in your bathroom. The next page starts with, we came to believe, and in highlight is one of my favorite quotes from the big book. It's page 550 to 551 in the third and fourth editions. The only problems I have now are those I create when I break out in a rash of self-will. I am my biggest problem. I am my biggest obstacle. On page 451, it says, when I focus on what's good today, I have a good day. When I focus on what's bad, I have a bad day. When I focus on the problem increases. When I focus on the answer increases. Look at your focus. Change your focus. Shift your focus. You'll see that the daily pages are written on there. Those were given to me very early in my recovery. Somebody I only called once that I asked to sponsor me. She had me open my big book. She had me write them in my big book. And I've tried to read them every day for about 20 years. And it's replaced some of my negative thinking. Do some reading in the big book. Don't think because you did your steps or you answered the question, it's just something to keep on the shelf. It's not going to help you if you don't open it. There's a list of prayers after that. And then I did a prayer search in the big book. These are all of the prayers that I could find in the big book. And I threw in here on the 11th step prayer from the 12 and 12 on page 99 and the morning prayer from the meditation meeting. You can't make it without prayer. Prayer is contact with God. So I want to thank you for being here. And being receptive, remember, take what you like,
and leave the rest. If it didn't fit, maybe it'll fit for somebody else. If you don't understand it, maybe it'll be useful further on down the road. So I'm just going to ask that you, because you've got all this stuff in your hands, if you will grab the hands of the person next to you and join in amongst the rows. We're going to say the Serenity Prayer because that's the gift that God has for us for today.
Arch and in charge is God.